Blog Talk Radio.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
Hi, this is Carmen Amoros. Thank you for joining me today on the New York Podcasting Cafe. This is a program featuring celebrities, artists, actors, writers, authors, playwrights, public figures, and anybody who has anything educating and fun to contribute to the internet community. Thank you for joining me. For two decades, Michael G. Ronstadt, Michael J. Ronstadt's son, who is also the nephew of the legendary American rock icon Linda Ronstadt, has entertained audiences throughout North America on cello, guitar, and voice. An exceptional musician, composer, conversant with a wide range of styles, he not only executes captivating solo performances, but participates regularly in duo and trio situations with a diverse camp of young, innovative musician-songwriters, including Lisa Biles and David Trotta. His versatile talents have been tapped for concert and studio work by such artists as David Bromberg, Linda Ronstadt, Muriel Anderson, and Craig Bickard. As a core member of Ronstadt Generations, Michael G. displays genre-bending explorations on cello and guitar in complement to thought-provoking lyrics. To say his originals are unusual is an understatement. They set the bar at Olympian heights in their depth and breadth. In addition to his solo recordings as well as those with Ronstadt Generations, Michael G. is a much-sought-after studio musician who has appeared on more than 50 albums in the last dozen years. Dan Buckley, writing for the Tucson Citizen, noted his amazing command of the typical and exotic sounds of the cello, a true virtuoso, and a man of instinctive musicality. Michael holds both a Master and Bachelor of Music in cello performance and studied under the esteemed pedagogues Yehuda Hanani, Nancy Green, and Dr. Gordon Epperson. Please join me in welcoming Michael G. Ronstadt to the New York Podcasting Cafe.
Hey, Michael G. Ronstadt, thank you for joining me on the New York Podcasting Cafe. I am so excited and so honored to have you here on my program. You just don't know. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Tell us a bit about your musical family history and Ronstadt generations.
I grew up with this rich family history that manifests itself via family gatherings. And you can see the evidence because you see guitar cases and people sing together. So growing up, it was very normal for me to have, you know, you always brought an instrument or something or yourself, and you were ready to, after food was consumed and maybe a little alcohol among the adults, you get together and you sing music and harmony together. So that was normal to me. And I didn't know the rest of the world didn't do that. And starting from that perspective, it kind of shaped my entire music career in a way, because we didn't just sing one genre. Diversity was the name of the game, essentially.
So it must have been quite a lot of family, a lot of people there, a lot of music.
The holidays, of course,
right.
We'd get together at my grandfather's house. And when he passed away, my Aunt Susie or my Uncle Peter filled those shoes. And as what happens with families, you know, little splits happen because whoever was the main glue is not there, but we as a family have, we still keep that tradition going. On my great uncle Edward's side, their family still gets together once a month on a Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah. So my dad and my brother and I, we've been playing music together as our immediate family for a long time, just ever since I could improvise on cello and wanted to sit in with my dad's trio, and my brother and I had a rock band together where my dad was a roadie. But when we came to a certain juncture, we're like, you know, we should make an official group out of this. And to answer your question, you know, Ronstadt Generations was what we came up with, because we have five generations of music in our family in the greater Tucson and northern Mexican region. We continue that tradition, and we bring it to other people.
Does that also include Los Tucsonenses?
Yeah, Los Tucsonenses. Those are the Tucsonans who are the other three members in Ronstadt Generations. And we grabbed that name because my great-grandfather, Federico Ronstadt, when he came up at age 14 from Banamachi, Mexico, up to Tucson to become a blacksmith and a wheelwright, he basically came with music. And we found out recently that my great-great-grandfather played music to all the towns around Banamachi, and they still remember him 100 years ago. So he must have trained Federico in the classical sense, as well as like in the Sousa band tradition. So Federico inevitably started one of the first philharmonic bands in Tucson. And it was a territorial brass band, essentially. And he taught everyone how to play, and he called it Los Tucsonenses. So we go back to the 1880s for that name. It's in our history.
So your dad, not to be confused with you, Michael Jane Ronstadt, was Linda Ronstadt's brother, and you all shared in the same upbringing of music. You were all doing it simultaneously. Linda just happened to branch out into her pop, but you were all in that, such a rich family history in music. You study classical music, I know, and hold a master and bachelor in music and cello performance. I'm calling you music, or should I say morph acoustic genre. That's the new genre that I'm going to personally label you that, because I hear so many sounds and flavors, some of them foreign and some of them American, coming from your music. Did you have an inclination to deviate from the classical while you were studying, or did that become a gradual transformation?
You know, I grew up with the folk music around me, and after a few attempts at trying to learn guitar with lessons when we were 5 and 6, my brother and I just didn't take to it, per se. We didn't have the right teacher, I would say. And then in fourth grade, when they played the cello and the violin and the bass and the viola and said, what do you want to play next year? I chose the cello because I could sit down. And I think the cello, aside from classical, aside from folk music, just the sound of the instrument and the fact that I could sit down because I was a 9-year-old boy. Who knows what, you know, my young brain was thinking, but I like sitting down. So the sound of the cello plus everything else that I heard made me want to do it. So then I ended up studying cello. Well, I studied cello just with orchestra, and then I took private lessons in 8th grade. So I had 4 years of not even really listening to the classical works. I just was learning what I was studying in orchestra. So I was kind of in my own world, and I didn't really have any guidelines to say this is what cello is. And, and I think that made it so that I was really open to the idea of like, well, why can't I do guitar chords on cello? Why can't I do strumming? Why can't I play bass lines? Fiddle players play rhythmically. Well, I could learn that, you know, and so it just all went from there. So it started as this just big melting pot of opportunities and options, and I just decided to go with it and not limit myself.
And I'm certainly glad that you did, because I find it very refreshing. Every song that I've heard you play speaks to me. It takes me somewhere. One of the songs that you do, I actually feel like I could be sitting in a car, in a convertible, traveling somewhere, maybe a journey to nowhere, with the song playing. It's really that beautiful. And some of them remind me of what I think would be appropriate for film scores because they're just so intense. And it's just lovely. Who were your greatest musical influences? I know that's a silly question because you had your father, your aunt.
Well, my aunt, Linda, is one of them, of course, because she kind of gave that permission to be a professional musician and showed that it can work out, you know. And as musicians and artists, we dream to the stars. And it may have a 1% chance of happening, but we're going to try to do it. So I was like, you know what? This is what I want to do. And I just never looked back. My dad, of course, has one of my favorite voices on this planet. Like, he's got, it's that old Frank Sinatra style mixed with, like, the Trio Los Panchos, mariachi, full male vocal sound. And if I could ever reach that level of vocal communication and you name it, that would be wonderful.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host, Carmen Amoros.
A lot of my other influences are in the classical world. Brahms, Bach, Beethoven, Barber, Stravinsky, Martinu, just go down the list. You know, Prokofiev. I love a lot of the stuff from the 20th century. I love where classical music is almost like 20, 30, 40, 50 years ahead of everyone else as far as like innovation. And then you find pop music and rock and blues and classical all kind of catch up behind it a little bit as far as like some of the crazy sounds you hear. It becomes, I guess, publicly digestible after a number of years of it percolating down or through the system. Not down, but through the system, because the trickling down doesn't always work. So, yeah.
True. Out of all the compositions that you've created, which one is the one that you favor the most? Is that possible for you to do? Because sometimes it's very hard to choose.
What I've created personally?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different facets of what I've been doing. And lately I just put out an instrumental album. And I love playing instrumental music. I love long form. I love when pieces are 40 minutes long and they have ebb and flow and shapes. And I almost think of mountains and terrain when thinking of sound.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the terrain changes and you want those sonic sounds to just surround you and you want to feel like you're in it. So the instrumental album I'm really happy with, because I found all these things that I had recorded. One was for a documentary called From War to Wisdom that my friend Josh Heisel and Dan Collins, they're releasing right now. So I did music for that. I'm like, well, I have 30 minutes of music from that. And then I had music from, I did a cover of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, and I played
that's
guitar.
Beautiful.
And
that's you on the guitar?
That's me on the guitar also,
it's beautiful. I heard it. So, you know, when you were talking about Water Wisdom before, I heard electricity. Fascinating. It creates such a sense of that. It creates such a sense of expectation. And I like the way that it starts and that builds and introduces these different percussions and textures with the mandolin here and there. And it has a kind of an Arabian Mediterranean feel. I don't know. That's just me. That's what I hear. And it's just so beautiful. It's marvelous. And also, Race for the Spotlight, I found that it has like a sweet angelic feel to it at the start. It's a bit celestial. And then it gets warm, and then the cello's bass strings begin to agitate. You almost feel like there's a race going somewhere. And it reminds me of just a little teeny bit. You probably, you know, weren't aware of it, but I don't know if you remember All the Lonely People, the agitation of the, I don't know if it was a viola or a cello, you know. And I was like, oh, I love this. You know, I just love the familiar. That's me. So you sort of relax your audience, and then the tempo begins to pick up again, and I like that energy. It's just such a beautiful energy. Prism of Childhood, that composition that you wrote, what inspired that piece?
I recorded actually the entire chunk of audio almost like you would put together a painting. I record because visually with recording these days, you can see it, you know, see a track. Mm-hmm. And so I recorded about 28 minutes of audio straight with one cello. And
it doesn't seem like it. It looks like you spent hours rehearsing, engineering. It's quite a lot of work.
It was a lot of work, and it was. I needed to do it quickly because they were putting the music in. And they sent me like five-minute clips of different parts of the film. And the film is about Iraq War veterans coming home and kind of going from war to wisdom. And it's kind of through the lens of like some of them have gone to the arts, or like the Marines in this case. My friend Josh Heisel is a Fox 25 Marine, and he said that the Marines come home and they're entrepreneurs, and they come and they won't be successful if they can get through a lot of the PTSD and all those things. They know how to be successful. They know how to be leaders. But the arts is saving a lot of the people through like Common Ground and the Hill Music Festival, where I've taught the last 7 years. There's a veterans initiative that bring in veterans, and they get to do the arts, and all of them have changed their lives. So that's what kind of sparked this, and it's really emotional because you see...
It really is. I have to say, I really loved it.
What I did was I split it. It inevitably fell into these different moods because different clips had parts, war footage, people being shot, people coming home and loved ones or people in caskets. Mm-hmm. So I ended up like having six parts that just happened. And so I divided it into tracks. And with the names, I was just thinking of how can I go from innocence to more knowledge, to which would be war, to maybe, you know, the wisdom that comes out of knowing this, mm-hmm. and what it's what people do with that knowledge and how they work to become better people, and also right. accepting what they've done. And one of the lines that Josh Heisel says with the in therapy, he said once, he said he had to admit that he's a killer of people. And oof. That to me was, he has a song about it, like, I'm a killer, you know, I've never, you know, in the song that he wrote, he's never shot an animal, but he's killed people, and he had to deal with the fact that he's killed people. And so musically, in my mind, how does that relate, you know? And so my hope is that it translated, you know, right? And you never know, because it's me creating it, so it's hard to be that third right. person, but I really appreciate that you solved it on the other end.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
There's an order or a sequence, including the song that you wrote, Change Without Consent. That's a marvelous piece, and that's the one I was referring to when I said it's a filmmaker's delight, because it's perfect for a film score that tells a story about something. The Hymns and Prayers, also, you have that in there. It seems reminiscent of Heartland or Homeland music.
I was trying to think almost like New World Symphony, Dvorak, and like trying to do something familiar and hymn-like, but I tried to not quite,
exactly.
But do something familiar. Yeah.
And Hallelujah 2 and Fields of Gold. Oh, I love Fields of Gold. Did you
My
do the guitar for that? The solo
I
guitar?
Did. Yeah.
You are an amazing guitarist. Oh, my goodness. No wonder you can make the cello talk. It's unbelievable. You're so talented.
You might call me a... Well, I play mandolin on the Electricity track also.
Yeah.
And I always say I'm a closet mandolin player. Also, I record mandolin in the studio, and I don't play out with mandolin. But
yeah.
Because it's
oh,
tuned
mandolin.
In the same intervals as cello, different notes, but same intervals, the chords are the same, so I can understand it. And with the guitar work that I've done, I can transfer to the fretted instruments pretty well. And I learned like mariachi style. I was in an Andean folk group with guitar, and I also play charango and ronroco, and I don't do wind instruments very well, so the zampoñas and gainas didn't really make the cut with my abilities. But playing in those musical situations gave me a lot of rhythmic foundations that one doesn't usually get, and it informs what I do on cello. But I've always felt like cello helps my guitar playing get better, and guitar playing helps my cello playing get better, and it's a mutual relationship that it's mutually beneficial also.
I heard you say that you're not very good on wind instruments, but the voice is a wind instrument, isn't it? I mean, I think we could liken it to wind instruments.
It is, yes.
And I was also taken by your vocals. You have a really crisp sound, and you can take it in any direction too. I could see you doing rock. I could see you doing pop. I could see you doing a little jazz. You have that type of a voice that sort of morphs also. Very beautiful voice. Or should I say handsome?
Well,
what do you say in the case of a guy? I don't know, handsome, beautiful.
Beautiful voice is fine. Either way.
It's in the family. I hear it. I see it and I hear it. And it's just beautiful. And I'm not just saying it. It takes a genius, I think, to take their classical training and take music. And with respect, because I know that you have a respect for tradition in music. But I like the way that you can break it down still with a reverence and interpret emotion with it in a new and different way. And I don't just call it a blending of genres. I think it's a genre all on its own, and I think it should have a name. I tell you, you should give it a name. Morph.
What was that name that
like
you had earlier? What was the name you had earlier?
Acoustic morph.
Acoustic. Because I learned about hashtags a year and a half ago, we should hashtag that.
Really? Seriously?
Any of your listeners who have known about hashtags for 10 years will laugh at me saying that, but I had no idea the power of hashtags until I started using them. I'm like, wow, this is kind of neat.
Seriously. If you want to make it really more personal, I would call it Morphstat or Morphstat.
Morphstat.
To put in some of your name in there, because it's brilliant. And I've never seen anybody do that before with a cello, you know, pick and plunk. And I've seen a little bit of plucking in the classical, but I never actually heard anyone make it sound so beautiful in this, playing it in the style of guitar. Which is new to me, very new to me.
You know, there's a small group of cello players that I really follow quite often, and one is a New York-based guy named... my friend Trevor Exter used to tour with Steve Kimmock's son. Steve Kimmock's son is a drummer. And so basically, it was a drum and cello duet called XVSK, and they still play together. But I've, you know, Trevor transforms the cello into a big guitar. And I follow his stuff, and he's so emotive. And he's got his style from his upbringing. And there's another one, Ben Soleil, who is out of Kentucky, I believe either Lexington or Louisville, Kentucky. And he plays with Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn. And he's got this beautiful tenor, almost bluegrass/R&B soul voice. So he takes like the bluegrass lands type sound and puts it to cello. So there's a handful of cello players that really just know how to utilize what they grew up with and then do something new and different and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a lot of us out there because there's
isn't
no
that great
book.
Though?
It's, I love
there's
it.
There's no
rule
book. You know, you don't have to write one.
that's my favorite part about it because it's you definitely can just, you can do what you want. You know, I can do what I want.
So. Yeah, it's marvelous.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
Your music is getting around. You seem to be everywhere. You do a lot.
I've gone across the pond 3 times, actually, to North Wales and once to Ireland. Beyond that, I've traveled more in Mexico and Canada and the United States, and I've covered a lot of ground in the United States, and I hope to go somewhere else.
I'm sure
but,
you will.
You know,
oh, no doubt.
You just never
it.
Know where life is going to take. I was happy when I was 28 or 27. I'm like, yay, I got to go across the pond. So, and now
do
I'm
you
31.
Have any, you know. 31? You're a boy. You're a young man.
Still got time.
Yeah, you have a lot of time. Do you ever dream of, say, doing the big halls like Carnegie Hall, a solo performance in Carnegie Hall, or have you already done that?
I played Carnegie Hall with the Tucson Symphony Youth Orchestra back in 2000, and we played an evening concert, and I auditioned among some alumni from the group, because usually youth orchestras play the daytime, and I guess we were the first Arizona Symphony to play there, so they booked an evening slot, and I made 14th chair, and 2 people dropped out, and I got bumped up to the last chair, which was accepted, and so it was 12th, and I got to play Carnegie Hall. I think I was a junior in high school. I love that hall, and if an opportunity
beautiful,
came up
that
I could play Carnegie again, I would do it in a second. But there's a culture of like a pay-to-play Carnegie Hall, which is why you get these debuts at 12 and 13. It's not by invitation, but it's someone put in some money. So I would like to be there by invitation, or maybe I could back someone up, or maybe I'll write a piece for cello and orchestra someday that will get me there, and I would be honored. The opportunities are always out there, and I feel like whether it's a small coffee shop, a house concert, a barn concert, playing a hair salon I've done, a street
wow.
festival, or busking, I feel like it's all equal footing. I feel like
yes.
playing for people, I'm expressing myself.
Yes.
I feel like there's, you know, it's important work to do, because as artists, we help people understand each other, whether they know it or not. I think,
yes,
they, you
yes.
know, it helps us to like, really listen.
Yeah, that's a good attitude. You are a consummate musician, and you stand in your own light. You follow the beat of your own drum that you want to say, look, this is what I do. Love me for it. Enjoy it.
Pretty much saying, if you like what I do, I would be honored if you listen, you know, and if you don't, that's okay. I'm going to keep
right.
doing what I do, you know.
The first time that I heard your music, I was like, okay. And then I went back and listened again and again, and I thought, you know, this is really nice. It's so pure. And at times it has the classical flair, and at times it has the American flair. I cannot imagine people not having an appreciation for something that's fresh and new and beautiful. Like I was telling you, some of the compositions, you know, some of the pieces that I heard in your Word of Wisdom volume are just extraordinary, including, you know, Idealism and Dreams. That was very nice, too. And that was the one that I was referring to when I was telling you that I could see myself in a convertible driving cross-country. Foolish Fox.
Well, Foolish Fox was a lot of my albums these days have been taking 2 years. So the instrumental one took about a year because I realized, oh, I have the material. As far as Foolish Fox goes, the gentleman who recorded my third album, Bridging the Gap in 2010, he said, hey, when are you going to record another one? And I said, well, I don't really have the budget right now. I mean, he's like, you know what? You know, why don't we just do it? And so we took about 2 years to get it done. And I just had a lot of new material that needed to be put out there. And a lot of co-writes with people that I had started doing because of a writing lull. I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago, I just didn't have any material. I'm like, I'm not writing anything. And so I called some people up and I'm like, you want to write some songs together? And then that just started a whole new direction
right.
of my material. So between all that, I wanted to take what was in my brain and put it onto a CD. And the previous album in 2010 was acoustic and stripped down.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I used a lot of the Ronstadt Generation rhythm section, Los Tucsonenses.
Yes.
And I also used a lot of me, multi-track, and I have Renity Fisher on guest vocals, and I even cover a Craig Bickhart song, one of my favorites called It Opens, and then I have a fiddle medley, because I feel like every album that I put out, if I could do a fiddle medley, a tribute to the Airlines, who call my cello a bass fiddle. So, you know.
If your heart is in something, people are going to hear it, and they're going to love it, and they're going to support it.
Yeah, I'm thankful to Rick Danzine from Slot One Records, which is technically my small label that I'm on, as well as Ronstadt Records. But Rick Danzine has been a huge advocate of my music and has just put so much into it to make sure it's out there and that it's recorded well, so that what I'm doing is captured realistically, because I took so long because I wanted to make sure my vocals were right and that they, I recorded them in Cincinnati, I recorded the instruments and with Rick in Ambler, Pennsylvania, PD, My brother recorded all the Ronstadt Generation musicians in Tucson. It's just, it was a group effort all along the, you know, along the way, and I really feel happy about that album. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun, and so I'd be curious your thoughts on some of it.
The quality of the recording is HDR. It's high definition, and I love the clarity of the sound. I feel like it's playing in my ear. You know how sometimes you can hear sound reverberate in your chest? I almost feel like that is happening when I hear you play the cello. And when you sing, my gosh, you know, when I first heard you open your mouth, I thought, my goodness, he sings also, and he's a good singer. But sometimes you'll get a good musician who's a great musician, but the vocals are like, you wish they'd, you know, hired a singer. But when I heard you sing, I thought, wow, you know, he really has a beautiful vocal, in addition to this amazing talent to play this cello in various genres, in addition to the genius of being able to take the music, break it down, and reformat it into something new and vibrant and refreshing. You're really blessed, I have to say, that God has given you such a talent.
I feel honored that I can make music. You know, it is a blessing to be able to make a living at it and be able to do what I love. So go out there and do it, you know, because I've been blessed with those abilities, and not everyone gets that opportunity. So it's a
make 'em laugh when you wanna cry. Find your wings when it's time to fly. Call the tune when your heart says dance. Take it, babe, when you see a chance. It don't look like a dawn. It don't look like a door, but it opens. It opens. It don't look like a door. It don't look like a door, but it opens. Opportunity rides the breeze. There ain't no lock and there ain't no key. The only thing life hinges on is a shoulder's push and a faith that's strong. It don't look like a door. It don't look like a door, but it opens. It opens. It don't look like a door. It don't look like a door, but it closes when you're young. The others waiting to get strong. Threshold trips, yeah, and you stumble through. Your future says, how do you do? It don't look like a door. It don't look like a door, but it opens. It opens. It don't look like a door. It don't look like a door, but it opens. It don't look like a door. It don't look like a door, but it opens. It opens. It don't look like a door. It don't look like a door, but it opens. It opens.
This is NYPC Radio, the New York Podcasting Cafe, with host Carmen Amoros.
I've been playing cello for 22 years and guitar for 21 years, and I had to start somewhere, and I worked really hard and practiced a lot, and I had this unyielding desire to just go out there and play music. From the age of 12, I started my first gig at Starbucks with a guitar duo that I had with my best friend Jonathan Confort, and we got our paycheck from Starbucks before they were, I think, were even too big to really pay for, like, local music acts there. And
that's when you
amazing.
Officially become professional, yes.
I felt like I did it. I'm like, okay, well, this is... And then you just, you know, like, I listened back to my album from 2006, my first one, and I go, I had a long way to go from there, and I feel like I'm constantly getting better. And if I hadn't done that 2006 effort, Emotionless Swirls, and then did the one while I lived in Cincinnati in 2008 called Cotton Dreams, I wouldn't have had the 2010 and the 2015 and 2016 albums and stuff with Aaron Nathans and all this songwriting. I mean, it all builds upon itself. And I sometimes think, I'm like, how did people listen to me 10, 11 years ago? And then when I know how much I've improved at this point, and then I'm immediately thankful that there's that support. And I realize, you know what, we're all trying to get there. You know, I started writing songs because of an open mic at the Aspen Music Festival. It was in downtown Aspen, and the bouncer let me in, even though I wasn't of drinking age. He said, if I catch you drinking, I'm personally kicking you out. And I never drank anything, but I was writing songs, and I'm like, I have to sing these. And I was, you know, it was just it was one of those things that I was jamming with people and performing my own material and refining it. So I just would say to anyone, go do it, and then keep getting better, and always take advice from everyone, whether they're experts in the field or not, because they are your audience. And you can take it with a grain of salt, or you can take it 150% to heart, but listen to what people are saying, but also do what you want and make sure that you're saying what you want and do it for you. Don't necessarily do it because you want to get famous. You know, if you need to do it, you're just going to go do it. And whether there are 2 people out there or 100 people, just play your heart out, because you never know who's going to be listening. And you'll always never know who's going to be listening, because sometimes you'll feel like no one hears you, and sometimes you feel like the whole world is hearing you. It's just the ebb and flow of being an artist, and it's joyful, and it's lovely, and it's an adventure that is worth taking. And if you don't do it, and you need to do it, you may not be truly happy. And I think that every artist inside who really wants to get out should just go for it and try to find that balance that really feeds their soul, so that they can express themselves.
Those are beautiful words, Michael G. Ronstadt. Thank you so much for being on my program. I really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed your music. I've enjoyed your words. I've enjoyed everything, the laughter, the fun, everything. Can you name your 3 CDs one more time so that the audience will put it down and look them up on your website?
Yeah. Is it okay if I name 4?
Absolutely. Okay. I forgot that it's four. Forgive me. I think I might have missed the 2010 one.
Well, the joke is that I have like 10,000 discs on the table because I have so many CDs that I put out. But
yeah.
As far as my solo CDs go and some collaborations, the first one to check out would be the most recent, called Shaken Earth, which is an instrumental album. Includes mm-hmm. guitar, cello, violin, mandolin, some piano, mm-hmm. a little bit of percussion. It's meant to cross between classical and ambient. It's called Shaken Earth Volume 1, and that's available at CD Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that I put out before that has my vocals and cello and guitar work. It's called Foolish Fox. You can find
mm-hmm.
that on iTunes and the interwebs. And that was released in October of 2005. Before that, I released an album with Aaron Nathans in 2014 called Crooked Fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
And we perform together on the East Coast quite often, still do. We play at Northeast Regional Folk Alliance and showcase a lot of different places. And Aaron's just an amazing lyricist and writer. So anyway, that's an album called Crooked Fiddle. And then another album from 2010 is called Bridging the Gap, recorded in Ambler, Pennsylvania. It was my third solo album, and that's available on Amazon and iTunes and all that good stuff. Additionally, if anyone wants to check out ronstadtrecords.com, you can go search my name in the shop, and you'll find albums by Ronstadt Generations, which my cello and voice is all over, with my brother and my dad, and Los Tuxonenses, who we spoke about. And you can also find a collaboration with Bobby Fisher, who is Serenity Fisher's dad, and I play in Serenity Fisher and the Cardboard Hearts, which my brother recorded, called Carousel of Love. And then the album I did with her dad is called Ancient and Unending, and there's even a co-write that my dad and I did. So it's and that's another instrumental CD. So that's actually more than four, but at least it gives people a sense of the various projects I'm doing.
Thank you for sharing that with us, and I look forward to doing another interview with you again, hopefully a new CD or a new project. Personally, I'd like my own electricity T-shirt. Just let me know if it's on your website, and I'll go pick it up, okay?
If I get some T-shirts made, that's a great idea. I've been kind of, you know, it's hard to make your own T-shirt because
merchandise.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like sometimes a T-shirt, maybe a quirky T-shirt, that doesn't necessarily have my name really big, but it says electricity and has a nice little picture on it. I'll have to figure it out.
Exactly, because that's what prompts the curiosity. And, you know, electricity, MGR, who's MGR and what's electricity? And then maybe there's a .com name underneath, you know? So you got to get that merchandise in there. So it's all exciting. The titles are really nice. They make you curious. You want to jump in and listen. So I think that's wonderful. You've got a lot going on there.
Well, thank you. You're giving me a big old smile here. So I appreciate it.
So we're going to have you back. And, you know, hopefully I will, some news, you know, maybe Carnegie Hall or New York or something like that, maybe a year from now.
A musician's business plan is that you write it down, you aim to do that, and you aim 150, 200%, and then if you get 100%
exactly.
of that or 80% of it, it's still pretty good.
It's the word. The word accomplishes it all. It's like a prayer, you know. Say the word, and it's like a prayer from your lips up to his ears, and it's a done deal. Thank you, Michael Gilbert Ronstadt, for being on my program. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you to all your listeners for taking the time, and I hope you enjoy my music, and I hope you explore all the avenues of what I do, because there's a lot of collaborators, and I hope you can check out their music too.
Thank you. We definitely
Thank
will.
You. Okay.
Everywhere I go, somebody says the world can't go on no more this way. Everybody talking about change, talking what everybody knows. Ooh. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the world can't go on no more this way. Everybody knows, talking don't change a darn thing. The good times, the bad times ain't for the choosing. Sometimes winning, and sometimes it's losing. Sometimes the bad times seem like they have, when someone didn't take the time to think about the other man. Hey, everywhere I go, somebody say the world can't go on no more this way. Everybody talking about change, talking what everybody knows. Ooh. And everybody knows the world can't go on no more this way. Everybody knows, talking don't change. Bad luck, both part of living. Sometimes it's full of taking, and sometimes you're giving. Sometimes seem like luck won't be enough, and if we'd had our fill of hatred, why don't we try a little bit more of that love? Everywhere I go, somebody say world can't go on no more this way. Everybody talking about change, talking what everybody knows. Everybody knows the world can't go on no more this way. Everybody knows, talking don't change a darn thing.
You have been listening to an interview with Michael G. Ronstadt, the son of singer, composer, and musician Michael J. Ronstadt, and the nephew of the legendary rock singer Linda Ronstadt. A wonderful guy, very talented, great composer, great musician. He's an amazing vocalist, and he has a great heart. You heard it. You heard the interview. He's a really, really nice guy to get to know. So please, by all means, go to get his digital download at iTunes, at apple.com. You'll find Foolish Fox there, which is one of his albums, and you'll also find the physical CD over at ronstadtrecords.com. The links to these will appear directly under the slideshow presentation here on this episode of the New York Podcasting Cafe. Thank you for joining me, Carmen Amoros, and Michael G. Ronstadt here on the New York Podcasting Cafe.